You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
For those who don't know me, my name is Bin, and I'm the pastor at Sunlife Church. Thank you that you would join us on this wonderful Good Friday. This is one of those very special services for all Christians, where we reflect and we remember what our Lord would do for us upon that cross. I want to take you back to that scene where Jesus is on the cross with the two thieves, one on his left and one on his right. And just before Jesus would say those final words, "It is finished," there was this conversation between Jesus and these thieves. Now we've heard the text, and we've saw James perform. We had one thief who would hurl abuses towards Jesus. One thief would say, like, "If you are not the Christ," in other words, "If you are not God, if you are not the chosen one, if you are not the Messiah, why are you up there? Because if you are, get down. Save yourself. In fact, while you're at it, why don't you save us as well?" And this thief here was in essence saying the same thing as the entire crowd. Remember, public execution was to make sure that everyone involved would witness this. Family, friends. There was a crowd of people watching this. In Luke 23, just a few passages above that, I would read this from verse 35. "The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldier also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.'" So we have one criminal saying the same thing as the entire community. "If you are the Messiah, if you are the chosen one, then why don't you save yourself? Why don't you get off the cross and prove to us that you are God?" And that's what he said. But on the other side, there was another criminal. Now, we don't know much about this criminal, but let me say, he was no better. Because crucifixion was for the worst of the worst. If you were the worst of the worst, that's your death. A long death, a painful death, a humiliating death in front of everyone. So this other criminal, he wasn't any better. He was just as bad. So when we read the text, we cannot say that one criminal was bad and the other one was good. No way, they were both bad. They both deserve crucifixion. They both deserve to hang on a cross to die. They were the worst of the worst. In the mid-90s, there was a movie starring Nicolas Cage, Con Air. I don't know whether you remember watching that, but this was a movie where you had the worst of the worst criminals being transferred to this super prison, you know? And there was a scene where they're on a plane, and they were bad. And they had names like Cyrus the Virus. Don't laugh, that was actually the name of one of the characters. He was Cyrus the Virus. Another one was Rapist 23, Diamond Dog, Joe Pinball Parker. You're probably asking, how come he knows all the names? Because it's one of my favorite movies. And they were the worst of the worst. And you know, in the scene, every single one of these criminals deserved to be locked away in a prison cell with their key destroyed. They don't deserve space on this face of the planet. They don't deserve a second chance. They were the worst of the worst. And right here, we have two criminals, the worst of the worst, both performing horrific acts in their lifetime, beating people, murdering people, robbing people, both deserving crucifixion, both deserving death to rot in hell. But one of them would say, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, For we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man in the middle, Jesus, he's done nothing. You notice what the criminal is saying? He's saying to the other one, shut up. Don't make a comment because we deserve to be on this cross. We deserve to have this pain. We deserve to be humiliated. We deserve to die this horrific death. Don't you know that what we have done over the years, we deserve to be here. Shut up. This Jesus, he's done nothing. He didn't do all that. We, you and me, we deserve that death. Not Jesus. If you read carefully in the text, he says that indeed we are suffering justly. You read the text carefully. Indeed, we are receiving what we deserve. See, he's admitted. He's admitted the fact that I'm on this cross because I deserve it. I'm on this cross because I've done things that I'm not proud of. I'm on this cross because all the wicked acts has resulted to me being nailed upon the cross to die a shameful, horrific death before everyone. We deserve this. I deserve this. Can you see that in the text? But then he makes one amazing request to Jesus. It's so ludicrous. It is so selfish. It is so foolish. It is so senseless. This is a request from a man who deserves the death. And in verse 42, he says this, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Now, we need to understand this. Because he is requesting a favor from Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you are in heaven. In other words, save me a spot in heaven. That's his request. That I'm going to die soon, and wherever you are going, could you please save me a spot there? You need to understand the context here. This man, he does not deserve to be remembered in heaven. He does not deserve to be remembered by Jesus. He does not deserve a place in heaven. He doesn't deserve it. He's admitted it. But he would make this bold request. Oh, Jesus, would you please remember me? Would you please reserve me? You know, in the late 90s, when I was still teaching, I was given the task of teaching a group of year 10s. 15 year 10 students who've already made up their mind that they would not go into upper high school. I think back in the day, you could finish at the end of year 10 and look for work, find an apprentice, find work somewhere. You didn't have to complete year 11 and year 12. I was in my second year out, and I was given this group of year 10 students who did not want to be there. There was 15 of them. And let me say that it was like having 15 little mini Con Airs in a room. They were the worst of the worst. I kid you not. They were the worst of the worst. They did not want to know anything about the water cycle or photosynthesis or the solar system or Newton's third law of motion. None of that, right? None of that. In fact, there was one day one boy threw a chair across the room, and let me say, he wasn't demonstrating Newton's law of motion right there, right? He wasn't not. And I would literally feel sick in my gut every time I realized that the next period was this class. And I would pray to God, God, would you make sure that this next hour would go by so quickly, God? Or would you please, God, not have these kids rock up? That was me. And I did my best just to look after them, entertain them. Let me say, they did not respect me. They did not love me. They didn't appreciate me. They didn't care for me. They made my life so hard. Do you think I really cared about them? I'll be honest with you. No. Do you think that if they asked me to be their Facebook friend, and by the way, there was no Facebook back then, right? But if you imagine if there was Facebook and they asked me to be their Facebook friend, do you think I would accept that? No. Do you reckon they asked me for a favor? Mr. Newman, would you let us out early? Do you think I would do that? No. Man, I should have done that. I did the bare minimum. You know, forget about asking me favor because the answer will be no, because you have done nothing for me. Forget about asking me for a request to be your friend. I will say no because I don't like you. And that was me. That was me. But we look in the text here, the two thieves. One of them said, Jesus, would you please remember me? You need to understand the magnitude of this request. He has gone from one extreme where he doesn't deserve Jesus. He doesn't deserve a second chance. He deserves hell. He deserves death. And he goes to the other extreme and says, Jesus, would you please reserve a place for me in heaven? And I wonder whether he was just throwing it out there and just hoping that Jesus would grab it. Maybe Jesus might counter offer. You know? He's just wishfully thinking that maybe as I throw out that request, Jesus may counter offer. Maybe Jesus may take away the pain so I die a quick death and go to hell. Maybe he was doing that. But I love the response of Jesus. And Jesus looked to him and said, truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Truly means it is done. Truly means your request has been accepted. Truly means I confirm it. Truly means I accept it. Today you will be with me in paradise. I love you. I forgive you. I accept you. I do not look at your past. I want to hear your cry and I accept your request. That's a great God. That's a loving God. That's a God who says that I am not going to look at what you've done in the past. I'm not going to put my love based on your actions of the past. I love you because my love is greater than what you have done in the past. Truly, today I remember you. You will be with me in paradise. I want you to know, family and friends, that Jesus has done everything so that those words are declared over you and I. Truly, today, you be with me. I don't know whether if some of you here this morning, you have lived a life where you are feeling that you're like the thieves, where you cannot ask God that request. You don't want to ask God that because you feel that I can't ask God that. I am so sinful. I've done such bad things. Why would God even hear my request? Can I say to you this morning that if you ask God, Jesus, would you remember me? Jesus, would you give me new life? He would declare over you, truly, today you'll be with me. And then he says those final words, it is finished. Just recently, I took my two boys to laser tag, which is just an amusement center where you would shoot people with these little laser beams. And we rocked up there, and I said to the person behind the counter, would you be so kind to give us three spots? And she looked at the books and she says, I'm sorry, you should have called through, you should have booked earlier. There's no booking. In fact, there's a group in an hour's time, if you want to wait for an hour's time. But there's only two places. There can't be three. What do you have to miss out? And I'm saying, oh, can you please squeeze this in? Can you please make it three slots? And she goes, oh, wait a minute. I've just counted again. Oh, there's only one slot now. Two of you have got to miss out. And then I said, well, what are our options? She says, well, you can come back the following day. But I advise that the next time you call through and make a booking because there's so many people, so many groups, and there's only three of you and you want a spot. There's no spot. So I said to her, please, can you please squeeze it? She said, no. And she said to me, look, why don't you come back in an hour's time and see if there is a vacancy? Because maybe a group may come and there may be one less. So an hour's time, we came back and we asked another person. This time it was the manager. I didn't know it was the manager. And I kind of said, hey, look, we've got three of us. I know there's only one spot. Is it possible for us to squeeze? And she counted and she said, there's only one spot. And then she said to me, actually, I'll squeeze you all in. We've got some spare packs. You guys can come in. And I said, would you really do that for me? And she said, yeah. Yeah. And I was with the happiest father because my two boys now could play this with me. We managed to scrape through without any bookings, knowing that there was only one pack, only one pack. But yet she would allow three of us to participate. For some of you, maybe you're feeling that, well, there's no room for you. You feel that God doesn't love you, and God doesn't have a spot for you, that your acts are so sinful that God wouldn't forgive you. And let me say that God loves you so much that He's done everything for you, so that those words are declared over your lives. Today, you'll be with me. I want you to take this time to just think of those words and put yourself in the shoes of those thieves on the cross. Are you someone who are hurling out abuses against Jesus, like the rest of the crowd? Or are you saying, Jesus, would you please remember me? I invite the music team to come up here to just to play us a song while we reflect upon what God has said.